Seven blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us once again with your presence here on Sabbath day. Thank you for giving us all that we needed through the week to do your will and to glorify you. Thank you for helping us grow with more love in our hearts, more peace, more meekness of Christ. And thank you so much for forgiving us of our sins. We look up in the heavens and we see, Father, how you take care of literally trillions upon trillions of individuals. We can't even count them. And it shows how you bless each and every one of us on an individual basis. We also look and see in 1 John 1:9 how loving you are and forgiving towards us. And then when we see how Jesus told Peter, you forgive 70 times 77, we see your long-suffering is just amazing to us. And so thank you for continuing to bless us in this area. Keep us safe in these last days and give us many opportunities to share our faith with courage. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, our Savior, and our eternal King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Yeah, Dwayne, if you can get with Brother Alvin or anybody that, I think Alvin's about the go-to guy on this. We need a Sabbath song because a lot of people are wanting the children's study now. And we're actually, a woman who left the Catholic Church was blessed by it. And I just got an email the other day about it. And the Ten Commandments thing, too. Now she's, you know, more people are, you know, being blessed by the Ten Commandments thing, too, now as well. And I want to leave it on the stream. But now, because of the song we just played, I'm going to have to pull the children's study and all that stuff out because we'll get hit. And, but yeah, we need a song that we can start the service with that we can leave in the recording because the music all has to be SDR. Otherwise, it'll eventually, you know, you keep getting copyright strikes. Eventually, they'll just knock you offline. And we don't want that to happen. So, yeah, praise the Lord. I want to welcome everybody here on the stream, here in the room, on the radio, and on the phone. And what's this? Oh, the tracks, we're going to be, Brother Eli's always been the one that people usually go to get the tracks, but now we got to start printing them up. We're having full-length tracks now that we're going to be handing out. I'm looking for a printer that in our area to make it easier for me as well as cheaper. And, you know, one that actually takes photos of the tracks. That way you don't have to keep on proofreading them because... we have issues from, in the past from that. I mean, little cards are one thing, but a track you got to keep rereading it, and it makes it difficult. And so we're working on that. The Lord has blessed us with the means by which to get the tracks now. So now all we need to do is get them done. So we're going to be doing that. And praise the Lord for that executive order that Trump put out there that allows free speech absolutely on all college campuses. And if the colleges try to stop you, they're going to get themselves in a heap of trouble. So now we've got a big old open door with our foot in it, and so we need to get out there. And so keep praying, though. Keep praying. We need a lot of people out there to have courage to stand there. Even if you're not saying anything, it doesn't matter. Just hand them a track. Sometimes they'll ask a question, and you'll see how quickly the Holy Spirit moves. It's amazing how your mouth starts moving. And I want to welcome Rudolph and Abigail and, into the room here as well as everybody else. We got some visitors here today. All right, so we left off last week, I forget, but this week we're going to be going into those that are seeking assurance that your prayers are answered and how we all need to get to a place in our faith where we know the Father is more willing to give good things unto us than most of us are even aware of, and we need to, or even, we have to... You know, it's not just caring about what we're asking for, but to, you know, be careful of what we're asking for. So, and we also need to come to a place that we have absolutely no doubt he's listening to our prayers as he promised he would. I mean, Jesus did say in Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. Let me turn on the fan there. Yeah, Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. knock and it shall be opened unto you. And ever notice this too? I'm going to put this in the text chat real quick here. Thanks, Brother Sean and Brother Warren and anybody else that's moderating on the stream. And Warren, I think Brother Mel is, if you need any more help on the stream, just ask Brother Mel. I think it was Mel. Pretty sure it was Mel. But or maybe it was Brad. I don't know. One of the guys. So, but ever notice this? Ask starts with an A. Seek starts with an S. And knock starts with a K. Ask, seek, and knock. It literally just ends up with A-S-K. Ask. He's your father. He's not a tyrant like Rome has been, indoctrinating people throughout all the world for centuries. So anyway, verse 8 going on, it says, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him? And now Jesus isn't slamming us by calling us evil. It's just a basic reality of the truth he always is going to present. Evil is just not understanding as well as, well, when you compare us to the Father, we can't even stand in his presence without being atomized. And so there's no, I don't even think throughout eternity we're ever going to be able to get there. I don't know. I know we're going to be studying the scriptures throughout all eternity. And so who knows? We'll find out in a couple of trillion years, maybe, if things change like that up there when we get home. Oh, welcome Tori, too. I just saw somebody else, just another visitor came into the room here on the, I don't know about the stream. I can't really keep my eyes on that one. But anyway, for the child of God that walks in obedience, this promise that we have here from Jesus in Matthew 7 is absolute, and it is the foundation of our prayer life. But when you look around today, billions of people declare themselves Christians, but never do you see a single prayer answer or even have the faith to believe that they are even heard, because the wolves in the pulpit the last 2,000 years have slowly but surely watered down the faith of Christendom across every single denomination, and that's no mistake. Satan was absolutely behind it. Powerful Christians are a powerful threat to him, and so he waters it down as best he could. I mean, especially, you know, the Roman Catholic Church, all right, where they don't even pray to the Father in Jesus, or they don't even pray to the Father as Jesus instructed them. Instead, they pray to Mary or Anthony or Stanislaus or Therese or even Carol Joseph Wojtyla, which is also Pope John Paul II, because now he's considered a saint. The guy sold the cyanide. He was the salesman for the cyanide that killed the Jews and the Christians. And his parents were the manufacturers of it. But he's a saint in the Roman Catholic Church now. Yeah, truth hurts if you're a Catholic and you hear that, but it's a reality. I got a page on the website all about it. And so it's easy to see why the people have no faith. Their prayers cannot be heard because deep inside, the person praying has to know when the prayers are directed to the rotted corpse of men and women, the Creator God is nowhere in the equation. And since mankind is infamous for letting their fellow man down, it cultivates the mindset that their prayers are, in fact, a waste of time because they're relying on mankind. The base reality is no matter how strong of a Catholic somebody is, they know they're not praying to a God. Unless, of course, well, Mary's now called co-redemptrix, which is co-redeemer in English, and she is considered necessary for salvation now in Catholicism. So they think she's a god. I mean, they even put the original sin, the Immaculate Conception thing upon her as well, which is a bold-faced lie. Mary said she needed a savior right after the angel told her she was going to have a baby, right? But still, some desperate people are going to try because they have no choice. This is why you see the Dark Ages. You know, the people have no idea. They had no clue as to how to pray or anything because they were relying on men, you know, Catholic priests. That's all they were relying on. And now it's gone first full circle, like the prophecy said. Now they're all relying on their pastors. Because for centuries, the Catholics were taught to rely on the priests, and because the Jesuits, as also prophesied, infiltrated all the churches, hence the reason for home churches, by the way. Home churches started for a reason 2,000 years ago, and the church is going to end in home churches also for a reason in the last days. So that's why we do what we do. As a matter of fact, we were the first ones, and praise God for this, we were the first ones ever to be moved by the Holy Spirit to start online churches back in the Fire Talk days. And I just got an article the other day that this is going out into the media all across the world, that people are starting to see the need to have online church. And the reason I say praise the Lord for that is because there's a lot of people that don't come to these online meetings that we have because they want the fellowship, they want this, they want that, or you know, it just seems odd to them. That's going to generate more flow into the true church. And we're not the only ones doing it that believe the way we do. And so praise God. It looks like either that or, you know, they're going to try to infiltrate ours. But that's not the way we've been doing this for so long. We know how to do the security on it to prevent. And I'm not talking about preventing hackers. I'm talking about preventing trolls and preventing people that come in and literally try to disrupt church services. We've got, you know, the way people join our gathering here, it's done in a specific way. That's why you see the little smiley faces in our chat room. You know, people that are brand new, they don't have any ability until we get to know them. And yes, we do get to know them because the moderators will talk to them. So anyway, getting back, the reality here in regards to the, you know, us being in the last days, and regardless of what the lost and hopeless do to try and gain the attention of God, they simply do not trust him. The faith of some in this world will grow stronger than ever, and some of us will even be blessed to be part of that number that walks in the latter rain, that falls more abundantly than the early rain did on Pentecost, because our God, praise his holy name, has blessed us with eyes that see and ears that hear. And with such blessings, that can only come from reading his word. We know he hears our prayers, and we know his hand will move, because we've seen it move many times, and that's why we have testimony service every month. Because, you know, doing it every 3 months like we used to do, no, his hand has been moving so much lately that, and that's another thing that brings them in too. I mean, yeah, our numbers are low when the people come for church on testimony service sometimes because they figure, you know, it's not really a sermon or like that, but it actually is a sermon. You know, you testify unto the people as to what the Lord has done. And some of us get on the mic, and yeah, some of us just email their praises in, which is fine because they don't have good microphones or, you know, lousy internet connections. But still, it blesses people every time we have a testimony service. Somebody gets blessed. Now, some may say I'm being a little bit mean when I say only the obedient can gain the promise. You know, these promises that we see, like what Jesus said about asking. But I'm not the one that wrote the Bible. So they need to redirect their reasoning elsewhere. Still, the prayer of every sinner seeking salvation is heard and answered with the gift of salvation without question. You could be a dyed-in-the-wool, murderous, atheist molester. I mean, just think of the most disgusting person you can. They go to their knees seeking salvation. The Lord will hear that prayer. But if you're an arsonist starting a fire, and all of a sudden you realize you put a little bit too much fuel on the fire, and you got to run and go through a window two stories up, your prayer, yeah, oh God, don't let me be burned, or oh God, don't let me get caught, it's falling on deaf ears. He's not going to listen to prayers like that, right? And so that's always the key. The seeking salvation prayer, the sinner's prayer is really the only prayer, and it's not a canned prayer like the Baptists try and use. You know, like, you repeat after me, boom, you're guaranteed salvation. No, that is not how it works. And the only reason I know about that is I frequented a lot of Baptist churches after I got out of Catholicism. But the sinner's prayer, that's always the key to the entrance into the door of hope that is, in fact, Jesus. But sadly, thanks to the many false prophets who are actually wolves, those babes in Christ never come to the true understanding as to what it means to truly have Jesus as Lord. The long-prophesied fake Jesus has become the God of choice today, and that is why the other prophesied reality of a one-world church has come to fruition just 6 weeks ago. I mean, the stage is set. They're ready now. As prophesied, another Jesus has been preached, and now all the churches, and this includes the apostate SDA church, they are now under the same roof, worshiping the same false God that will soon stand on this earth claiming to be Jesus Christ, and they will accept him, because each of these denominations have rewritten the biblical Jesus into the one into the one the author of the Bible actually calls Antichrist. And some people will be shocked at me saying this. Well, it's a fact. It's going to happen. I mean, come on. Does Jesus say Allah is God? Does Jesus say homosexual marriage is okay? All of them, including the SDA Church, say that. Did they say going to church on Sunday is no big deal? Yes, the General Conference said that. I got a video about that. I mean, it's all sorts of disgusting things that all the churches are doing in the name of Christ. That is another Jesus. And that other Jesus has got them all set and ready to accept this fake one that's going to show up soon. And he's coming quickly. Did you see what was going on just the other day about the climate change and all this other stuff? All these students around all the world, from Japan to Russia. And they're panning the crowd with these cameras. These kids are out there doing climate strikes because they were indoctrinated. We know it's bad science. We got tens of thousands of scientists saying this is bogus. But it's not going to stop because prophecy can't be stopped. They're going to do it. And so we got to get ready. Sadly, even though some of these people that claim to be Christians read their Bibles, an Old Testament prophecy established by a New Testament confirmation from the Lord describes these lost souls of today perfectly. You check out Isaiah 29:13, and then I'm going to read Matthew 15:8. Isaiah 29:13, and then Matthew 15:8. This is what Isaiah says. He goes, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." The fear. Yeah, see that? That's why it says in Revelation, if you got fear, you're not going to heaven. Because fear is general. Now, this is not talking about the reverence fear that Psalms and Proverbs speaks of. That's okay. Having a reverent fear of the Lord. The other one is the fear of death thing. You know, people, it's just like what happened in 1844. The majority of the people that wanted to be ready for crisis because they wanted fire insurance. That's why that mistake was allowed to happen, to see where, you know, the true ones were. The ones that continued the studies after, you know, on October 23rd and realizing things didn't come. So, and then Matthew 15:8 says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." I mean, obedience is a major key in having this full assurance of faith, as well as the assurance of answered prayer. And yes, we're still in the sanctuary because we're on the altar of incense, which is prayer. And yes, sometimes we might not recognize the way our Lord answers the prayer, but that's only due to the dark glasses we're wearing right now that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians. You know, a good way to see how the answer is sent, but our flesh gets in the way, is to think of the man that asks the Lord for more peace in his heart as well as patience. This is how it worked for me. The prayer is answered by placing someone in his life that makes, you know, peace harder to find, wherein the person tries their patience almost daily. I was talking about this last night, as a matter of fact. Some may think that's not a good answer, but it is perfect in that it allows the person to learn to ignore the idiosyncrasies of those around them to the point nothing disturbs the peace they have within now. I mean, after all, even the weightlifter knows that in order to build up the bicep, he must increase the burden upon the arm, right? And so now that which is written is in James 1:3 is understood when it says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." You know, when we get home and have the dark glasses removed, we're going to come to a place that makes it very clear to us that when we felt ignored or annoyed by the way the Lord worked his will upon us, it was then that what we thought to be an unanswered prayer was actually some of the greatest blessings that ever came upon us. We need to realize that our prayers reach his throne each time we pray. I mean, seriously, why would he build an altar of incense and make such a point at speaking of it in the sanctuary and using it as part of the whole sanctuary message if it wasn't important? I mean, as soon as our Father sees it, the prayer, that it is good to answer the prayer, he will do just as he promised. Jesus said in John 14:13 that whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Because our lack of faith, and this is our own fault, but because of our lack of faith, the Lord sometimes allows a certain trial to come upon us to help us understand that His will has to be part of our life in a little bit more serious manner so as to help us grow in faith. The answer to some of our prayers may take years to be answered. And yes, some prayers will not be answered until the close of probation when we need the answer the most. Like those of us have infected or, you know, like praying for the Gideon Band. I mean, if you think your trials are difficult now, when those plagues begin and you are blessed to be part of the Gideon Band or the 144,000 that are new, that don't know what I mean by that. So the trial you experience then will be mountainous compared to the ones you're experiencing now. And if you notice, the Lord always gives us breathing time, you know, even though it might only be a day or two for those of us that are getting really, really close to the Lord. Some of these attacks, it's unrelenting. The enemy's not going to stop. The Lord allows those attacks. The Lord will also allow certain things in our life that come from His hand to get us better and, you know, on the path. And but when you look at it, what's going to go down during the plagues and stuff, those trials are going to be 10 times, 100 times, or even 1,000 times worse than the ones we have. But then you think, well, then how can we be ready? No, you got to understand how the trials pile up in your experience. That's the only way I can explain it. What I mean is, if the trials are going to be 800 times more difficult, let's say, when the plagues begin for you, because 1 Corinthians 10:13 still applies here. He's not going to tempt you above your ability to handle it. And if you're part of the Gideon Band, everything's going to be okay anyway. But let's just say it's 800 times. All right? And so before the plagues begin, the Lord's going to make sure you get 800 trials. And then you pile them all up into one area of faith or realization. Then, yeah, that gargantuan trial will remind you of all these other trials that you went through that make it that much easier to handle that trial. So don't worry, brothers and sisters, for if you are called to be in that number and blessed with the latter rain of the Holy Spirit upon you, then even though you see the trial as something you never experienced before, you're going to still stand firm, knowing that 1 Corinthians 10:13 was a promise you were moved to recall many times in life before that rain fell, and it is now a promise that you know is still assured as you stand during the plagues of Revelation without so much as a boil upon you. I mean, for that promise clearly says, oh, thanks, Sean. I was going to say, yeah, there hath no temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. You know, just because the plagues are falling doesn't mean His promises cease to stand firm or even exist. Now, people that think they're going to be whisked away in a secret rapture, well, yeah, they're going to think God failed them, and then, you know, that's it for them. But then again, there is no such Bible verse to back that up, and it's their own fault. If you don't open your Bible and find out that the guy standing on the pulpit is actually a wolf, I mean, come on, we are in the last days. Even the atheists notice. We've got atheists actually joining our church because we don't preach like they do, you know, like the rest of the world. We're not cookie-cutter churchianity, and we certainly aren't into preachertainment either. The prayers of all His saints are logged and registered on the altar of incense before the throne in heaven. Before the throne! And so stand firm, brothers and sisters. He is an eternal God, and He's not taking a nap like Elijah was, you know, mocking Baal back in the day, if you recall. He's not a fly-by-night God, like Dagon, that falls flat on his face at the slightest touch of one single solitary angel. I mean, case in point, when speaking how Jesus Christ stands to intercede for us all the way until the end of the world, and so that means after the plagues end, it is declared in Revelation 8, verses 2 to 5, the following words. And it says this, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the smoke." No, out of the angel's hand. Yeah, send it up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. You know, as we understand it, and thanks to embracing Bible study, as it was declared the remnant people will do in these last days to gain more truth, this angel in Revelation 8 that holds that golden censer is in fact the archangel or ruler and creator of the angels. His name is Michael. If you noticed, it says in verses 2 and that seven angels stood before God. But then also notice that it says another angel stepped up with the prayers of the saints all on his own. Now, before going into this, we know as Christians that it is only Jesus Christ who stands as our mediator, for it is written in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, that man, Christ Jesus. And as we learned earlier, the incense is also the righteousness of Christ that he blends with the prayers of the saints before presenting them to his Father. And so, again, we see God and man working together in the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Hence the reason, you can even see the divine nature all the way back in Moses' day when Moses threw the tablets. Because he had to go back and he had to carve the tablets first, the second time, right? But God put the words back on it. God and man working together again. Well, that's when it more or less starts if you really think about it. But here is where it gets a bit cloudy for some Christians. As students of prophecy and of the Bible itself, we understand via many passages from the Old and New Testament that Michael is the name our Lord claimed when he came before his people as the angel of the Lord. And we need to keep in mind, and this is the reason why the Catholic Church did what it did with Michael the Archangel, trying to make it look like archangel means he's an angel. No, arch means you control the angels. So, but we need to keep in mind that it was the high priest alone that was ordained to offer the incense upon the golden altar in the sanctuary services here on earth. And if you can see that in Exodus 30 or even like verses 7 and 8 or verses 34 to 38, it's in Exodus 30. And we went over this long before, and we're going to go over it again later, I'm sure. But as Christians, we all know that we only have one high priest in heaven, and his name is Jesus Christ. For it is written in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And so this angel that steps up all on his own to present the prayers of the saints unto the Father, that angel is in fact Jesus Christ. It's just put that way because of the purity of truth in regards to him being the ark or the leader of the angels. And yes, many people cannot wrap their minds around such meaty truth as these just by the little few statements I made, even though they openly do accept Jesus Christ, who was God coming in the form of a man unto them 2,000 years ago. And so it's fitting that he stands as the ruler of all angels as well. Hence the term archangel, which when defined simply means chief angel, of which means there is only one. The word chief can also be defined as leading, main, preeminent, prime, principal, and capital, just to name a few. With that understanding, and hear me out on this before you leave, because I know some in the stream will probably take off on this. I know people in the church family, we all know this stuff. It is easier to see why it says in Revelation 12, verse 7, when you understand this the way it should be understood. It says, and then there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, right? And the dragon fought and his angels. Satan's the leader of his angels. Jesus is the leader of his angels. I mean, common sense dictates that Christ can lead and win. He's only Christ can lead and win a war like this because he's the one that won it. And if you do a study on this and have the patience needed to hear him speak from his word, this is undeniable. First, and it's not, this is a meaty study, by the way. This isn't, you know, milk. And I don't even know why the Lord pushed me into sharing this week, but it's just part of who we are and what his word says. For since we only have one advocate with the Father, as John put it in 1 John 2:1, and that term advocate also means one that intercedes or mediates for us, and, you know, or let's, I don't know any other way of saying it, but then only Christ could be the one that presents the prayers to his Father on our behalf. Hence the reason this angel is understood to be Michael, the archangel, or ruler of the angels, in this verse we read a few moments ago in regards to the archangel holding the censer and presenting the prayers of the saints to the Father on the throne. Only Jesus can do that. And so for those of you that are seeking all the verses from the Old to the New Testament that confirms this is an undeniable detail, that Jesus Christ and Michael the archangel are more or less just, I mean, they are one and the same, I have an in-depth study on my website about this. And for those listening on the stream and on the radio, just go to remnantofgod.org/michael.htm. It's in depth. And pray before you read it. And I would also suggest doing it in the morning, like before you eat. Don't let any food or anything get in there to fog your mind. Thanks, Sister Natasha. She put it in the stream there for me. Everybody here in the room already knows where it's at. And so, going on. This is all, and I mentioned this in a little bit, but this is why Rome commands their flock to pray to the Mary, you know, to Mary, which is not actually Mary, but a demon claiming to be Mary. And he claims, he first, many, many centuries ago, appeared as well before, just like he did in 1917. And I have no doubt in my mind that he did that 2 years after a certain person died that was considered a modern-day prophet. And so Mary, the Mary of the Bible is not the Mary that in the Catholic Church. That's the one of the Catholic Church is an absolute demon, and I've got a web page all about her, or it. But that same demon called himself the Queen of Heaven back in Jeremiah chapter 7:18. Wherein we find that this title does in fact anger our God, and this is why he's going for it. This is why the Vatican uses the term Queen of Heaven for Mary, and I got a whole page just about the Queen of Heaven. So, as it is known in heaven and in the heart of his bride here on earth, it is only Jesus Christ that intercedes for his bride. And since everything in the Bible says to do, tells us what to do, what is right, and then Rome always does the exact opposite from their Sunday Sabbath to claiming the Pope is a God on earth. We have to expect that Satan will work through them to remove Christ from the place he agreed to stand for his bride so that their prayers will be heard, so that their prayers won't be heard, by the Father, because they're praying to Mary and everybody else instead. And this is why Rome goes for this. And this is also why the priests demand you call them Father. And the Pope demands you blaspheme and call him Holy Father. The title Holy Father, which is only declared one time in Scripture, wherein Jesus himself is praying unto and addressing our Father, which art in heaven. It's John chapter 17. I think it's about verse 11. Where he's calling his Father, Holy Father in heaven. I mean, it's only one time. Praying to a demon, calling itself Mary, effectually prevents the prayer from ever being heard by the Lord, because the one praying made the decision all on her own to ignore that which is written in the Bible, which is spoken by wolves. And this is the same thing that's happening in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, as well as all the other churches. Because now the Seventh-day Adventist people are echoing their pastors, just like all the Catholics echo the priests. And I've got tons of email to prove that, where they echo things way out of context, because that's what, and they all use the exact same thing out of context from Spirit of Prophecy. Because they don't study. They don't study Spirit of Prophecy, they don't study the Bible. But they study their pastors. So, they're openly, in other words, they're doing the same thing the Catholics are doing. They're worshiping another God and another Jesus, too. So anyway, next Sabbath, we're going to touch on how all the pastors in the world, echo Vatican lies that are designed to get the people in the church to trust men on the pulpit instead of the God above, so as to cripple their faith in the Heavenly Father, which then leaves them no choice to place their faith in their earthly pastors. And then this causes them to have a dead prayer life, just as Satan needs them to have, And again, that'll be next Sabbath. We'll pick it up from there, and I hope and pray that you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.